Picks me up.
Okay, what's our packet look like?
I've got minutes from a while ago.
Oh, is it?
Mm-hmm. Okay. From
a
while ago.
Yeah. Okay. Good morning. I would like to call the Rules, Ethics, and Engrossment Committee meeting to order. It is
11:10
on September 25th. Roll call, please.
Congresswoman Stabler.
Present.
Congresswoman Lemon.
Present.
Chair Pratt.
Here. Okay. Congresswoman Lemon, would you like to pray for us this morning?
I'd be glad to. Thank you.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Oh, Heavenly Father, we come to you today as humble servants. We ask that you be with us today in our hearts and in our minds when making decisions for our people. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. Next is approval of the minutes for this morning.
Motion to approve the minutes from September 25th, 2019 at 9:17 a.m. meeting.
Second.
Motion's made and seconded to approve the minutes for this morning, September 25th at 9:17 a.m. All those in favor say yes.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Next is discussion and possible action of proposed rules amendments. So we have a couple of rules amendments discussion on the table. One is on the board. It came from Congresswoman Whitehorn. So let's go ahead and, do you want to start with the board or
this? That's fine.
Paper, all right. Okay, new rule proposal. Let me pull the minutes up. Rules.
Better. Mm-hmm. I'm going to pass this down here so you guys can scroll as you need to.
Okay. Who's proposing this rule?
Me.
Legislation documents. So it's legislation documents, right? Where I would find, because I couldn't find it the other day, the online rules. Oh, there we go, congressional rules. Okay. All right, so Congressional Affairs Committee.
California too, aren't you?
Seven.
Possibly, we should talk to them about this.
Why?
Because this impacts their ability to be represented.
Congresswoman Whitehorn, or excuse me, Shannon, you're confusing me. Congresswoman Stabler.
Okay, this is this a new rule or is this a change to a rule?
I believe it's a new one.
It's a brand new one.
It says insert new subsection.
Okay, mm-hmm. Here.
So that's what I was going off of, to make sure that there's not some other part to it. So if you scroll down a little bit. And I think the rule itself.
I'm sorry, here, you drive this because I'm looking online
okay.
Real quick.
I think the rule itself on this title or is appropriate because that is where inaugurations go on, all of that planning session goes on up there. And so there are other things. I don't know if we need to. Going down here into the body, include review of mediate member disputes.
Okay.
So this is all new. Review and approve all job descriptions. Review and complete annual legislation.
I believe that this is all there here. I'm going to pull these up and then just the, red is.
Would you call me when
the
you
new.
Get to this?
7.3.
It's just inserting.
Right. This is not my usual laptop. So I'm having a hard time. Congresswoman Lemon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Maria is at, I'm sorry, Congresswoman Whitehorn has at the table and joined us, and you have restated some of the rules already. Is that what this is here? And then you're just inserting the paragraph that's above. Is that my understanding?
Let me get to what you guys are looking at right now, so I can.
Okay. Thank you.
No, it's just a base. Sorry. Actually, the total amendment, and I realized the amendment would be page 36, line 16. Insert new letter J as follows. J, consider and approve all conferences, conventions, special events, meetings when hosted in whole or by part by Congress, including but not limited to trainings, retreats, conferences, workshops, special events, and inaugural events. And then change the letter K as accordingly. So it's just inserting. What I've provided for you in the document you're looking at is what the whole rule says, whole 7.3 rule states. So it was just to give you a point of reference how that rule looked. So just that one top paragraph, the new J is the amendment.
Okay, so for the minutes though, that's a little technical, but the J, it would be on page 37 on the online rules?
It's page 36. Is it 37?
Yes, it's 37 on the rules that I'm looking at right now.
The one.
So it says J is plan and conduct new member orientation.
Right.
And then you're inserting a K? Can you scroll down?
I'm sorry. You wanted K?
Inserts new J. And change the existing J to K. Is that correct?
Right.
Okay.
What does K
say? Wait a minute.
Okay. I see. It's a new section.
It's why
the insert goes forward.
It's a new letter J.
Tell me if this is what you would think, Congresswoman Pratt. It would be like line page 37, line 15. Insert that. As J.
Yeah, okay,
and
yes.
And then re-letter accordingly.
And then the K would be plan and conduct new member orientation last.
Yes.
Okay,
and that's that's what I have written.
Okay.
So
line what, 17?
Page 37, line 15.
Line 15.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, the Chairwoman.
Congresswoman.
I went ahead and wrote the amendment. At the end, you guys don't have it. Page 37, line 15, insert new letter J as follows. And then it's J, what I just read, and letter accordingly.
Okay. Consider and approve all conferences, conventions, special events. Continue.
The reason I saw need of this is the Congressional Affairs Committee takes on some duties and obligations that aren't in the law that has just kind of been precedent, such as we plan Christmas party, which is a special event. We plan workshops sometimes. We've planned legislative priority sessions. I think I've been to two of those since I've been on Congress. We plan the inaugural events, or whoever's on the committee plans the inaugural events. The rules remain silent to that. And so it's just catching up on a duty that is currently done by precedent, but actually stating it in the rules because it's not there. It doesn't say that the Congressional Affairs Body is the planning body for the Congress. So that's why I'm inserting it or requesting it to be considered.
Okay. Thank you, Congresswoman. Stabler?
Well, in my short experience in the position as the chair of that committee and as second speaker, I have no problem with this insertion. because I think more so recently it has been falling to the second speaker, period, and taking the burden of all of the planning and the implementation of any events that are going on. So I think it's a good idea.
When I was drafting it, I did have one question in mind, and maybe the clerk can help us with that, but also throughout other committees' obligations, such as public hearings, what else? Committee hearings. The concern I had that there might be some confusion, that those events or things that are put out in the rules that committees can do, I don't want it to be confused that it would have to go through the CA committee. Does that make sense?
Yes, and because that just popped in my head and I was just getting ready, but then I had to put some thought into it and say, I need to look at what the rule says for the standing committees, because that was my question when it says special events, because we have held events like that, but
like a public hearing,
we're the jurisdiction of the committee.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. But when I was drafting it, if you'll look, can I have the little roller? Okay. When you'll look, I was trying to keep in form with the other. See how it's just a short list of duties like that. I didn't want the new J to get twice as long as that. So I thought about placing in there, except as previously authorized by these rules or something to that effect. But I just decided I needed to stop. I was getting really wordy and I didn't want everything to get, I didn't want that to be a paragraph and a half. So mm-hmm. I was just wanting to bring that before you and let you guys consider if you think there needs to be additional language so there's no confusion about what other committees are authorized to actually do. And we wouldn't end up bumping our heads with each other because of this new language. That's not my intent. So I had to stop where I was because I was making it too long. So I'm putting it before you if I need to go back and work on it and try to fashion more language to go in there, or if you want to review it some more, I understand.
Well, I certainly don't have any problem with the insertion of that, the language of it, but just for someone who's been here a little while, that question immediately popped into my head. So I needed to go over to and so make sure that there's language that kind of like, again, which one takes,
right,
the which yes,
17 or 717 is where it talks about committee hearings, and it states that each standing committee is authorized to hold such hearings and sit and act at such times and places during the sessions, recesses, interims, periods, and so that's how that is stated. And then it goes on and talks about select committees of inquiry. They're kind of particular, but kind of vague in the same response. So,
as well as public hearings.
Mm-hmm. Now, just one question. What do we call? We have a few different things. What did we call? Not we. What was it? Technically, fall under the rules for the. Was it a hearing in Gray Horse at the time?
Public hearing.
That was a public. Okay. Just
which is
sure that we've got it covered.
Which is available by rule. Mm-hmm. Also
for the standing committee, and that's why at that time the Commerce Committee held that.
And I
continue.
I do believe, just from recollection, that when we had that public hearing, that the second speaker did have some duty as to help out with the ordering of food because it was,
yes,
under.
It's true.
The spending limit that's given that has to come before the committee, and I'm serious. I do have concerns about making more confusion than making it clear. So do we need language additional?
Okay, one second. Congresswoman Stabler?
That's what I was going to suggest, if we could put just at the end of it, with exception of rule, state the rule number regarding standing committees or regarding
and public
hearings, and hearings and
committing hearings would be rule 7.17 and public hearings is rule 7.18.
Congresswoman and Whitehorn?
Select committee, do we need that in there too?
Select committee is contained within committee hearings.
Okay.
Okay.
So I'll make a motion.
Okay.
Make a motion to add to the end of the proposed insertion.
We actually haven't done this.
We're not doing anything. I know. As soon as I said that, I was like, go ahead. But I was like, well, wait a minute. We've done nothing.
Okay. So I will make a different motion.
Okay.
Is the motion to adopt or the motion where we stand with it now? Motion to adopt it?
Recommending?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Can I make a quick suggestion?
If you want to change it, that to me, and you'll need to ask the chair, but that should be the motion to consider amending rule by that, just like we do
committee amendment, floor amendments of committee.
But
if you guys want to change it, then you won't have to amend what that says.
Right.
Excuse me. I have a question for the chair.
I'm very open when we
thing.
Do this.
It's a good thing.
Yeah.
Very casual. Now, my question for you is, so we can't amend this or edit this until we've done something here, because a recommendation to Congress would be passing it out.
No,
right?
You can. There's no. This doesn't. This just bringing. Brought before us, so it'd be just like if you and Congresswoman Whitehorn were standing in the hall and talked about this and then brought it. It just has to have action of this committee, but you can change it, whatever, before you actually we adopt it.
You can
for recommendation.
Whatever you want right now without mm-hmm. having a motion
mm-hmm. okay.
to that, because that hasn't been adopted by you guys.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
So what I was saying is that at the very end of it says events, and then. To extend that to say, with the exception of Rule 7.17 and 7.18 regarding public hearings.
Or regarding hearings.
Regarding hearings.
Yeah, because yeah. There's a few.
Does that work for everybody?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's just very, this was just given to us, but it'd be as though you brought this before us. You know, you can change it any way you want to. And then we'll take action to.
Entertain a motion for what?
She's got it. And then we just, we're recommending, but are we adopting a new?
A report.
We're just reporting.
We're going to report
a new
with either a do pass recommendation, no recommendation,
mm-hmm.
or a do not pass recommendation.
Oh. Okay.
Okay. Make a motion to report to adopt amendment to
7.3.
Is it? Yeah. To rule number. Where did it go?
Up. There you go.
7.3. Is that a
7.31.
31.
Uh-huh.
To insert new letter J as follows. Consider and approve all conferences, conventions, special events, and meetings when hosted in whole or in part by Congress, including but not limited to trainings, retreats, conferences, workshops, special events, and inaugural events, with the exception to rule 7.17 and 7.18 regarding hearings.
Yeah, sounds good.
You're reporting it with the due pass?
With the due pass.
Second.
OK. Okay, discussion. Congresswoman Whitehorn?
No, I think that little bit of work on the end helps alleviate my concerns. And like I said, I was getting really wordy, so I thought,
yes. I would agree, because like I said, it sounds good. That's the only thing that popped in my head was regarding who takes jurisdiction once it's a hearing. Mm-hmm. So that sounds good. And forgive me, I know Congresswoman Lemon said, along because you know we're new at this, but I'll say this, Ms. Walker, it's been a long time since we've had a new we adopted the same set of rules for change, but it's taken us over 2 years to try to get anything passed.
I actually had to go back to 2017 to get a template for the recommendation forms.
Right, exactly. So that's what I'm saying is, like, I'm trying to refresh my own memory right now, so on the wording. So, okay. If there's no more discussion, all those in favor say yes.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
So we will adopt that one and report to Congress on that rule. And now we have another proposed rule change in Rule 4.2.
Does somebody else need to drive to?
We have it in.
I'm not the best. I'm a good driver, but not with that thing. So, I was gonna say, how about we pull the rules up for those that don't have a copy before them? I have it on my laptop, but this is a different one. Have a copy. Congresswoman Stabler?
Yes. I just want to ask the author about the about striking 2 and 3.
Okay.
What were your intentions there?
Go ahead.
Yes, Congresswoman Lemon.
Okay, thank you. So 2 and 3 has to do with attending meetings by electronic means. And so.
Oh, can you back up real quick?
Absolutely.
Just for. Someone's listening. So we're on Rule 4.2, overall duties and responsibilities regarding, starts out, every member shall diligently attend each session day of the Congress and the committees to which they are elected. A member must submit a reason for being absent from session in writing at least 24 hours in advance, except in the case of an emergency, to the clerk of Congress and to the committee chair in the case of committee meetings, which is a standing rule right now. So the amendment would add, the clerk of Congress shall compile a list of member attendance, including absences, for all sessions and committee meetings, and the compiled list shall be a public document. And then further, number 2, members may attend any interim congressional meetings via electronic means, which shall constitute presence at the meeting, and that would be stricken. Also, number 3, the chair of a committee shall not preside over the meeting via electronic means, but shall retain the voting rights as a member, which would also be stricken. Okay, go ahead.
Okay,
there's more strike there, too.
Okay, number 4, members are prohibited from attending sessions or committee meetings, as a committee member during session, and that would be stricken by electronic means.
So it would read, members are prohibited from attending session or committee meetings by electronic means.
Yes, just all. Okay, go
ahead. Would you like for me to start at the top?
Mm-hmm.
Is that okay, Congresswoman Stabler? Okay, so the insertion of the clerk of Congress shall keep the attendance and compile a list and make it a public document. This is actually language that was previously in the rules. I don't know the exact date. Do you happen to know, Shanna, when it was stricken?
I do not know. I know that it has happened within the last 7 years.
So this was language that was previously in our rules, and the Clerk of Congress did at that time compile a list. And the reason that I feel strongly about this is that we live in a world of ease of access. And right now, if you want to check the attendance of your elected officials, which is us, you have to pull the journal the actual journal from the, and go through every single one of them. Or this would just be a document compiled by the clerk that can, at a quick glance shot, that you can see where your elected officials, either they are present or they are not present. And it's just a proposal. If the committee doesn't feel that, you know, it would be something that would be beneficial for our constituency to know, I completely understand. And then on down to 2 and 3, these particular ones, and then the portion of number 4. So I'm new to Congress, and I, let me back up just a second. So I don't have perfect attendance, and I don't ever claim that I will have perfect attendance. I think it's just a piece of transparency, and it's ease of access for our constituency to be able to see. Now, as far as electronic means, I had a member of Congress mention that by doing this and striking these particular paragraphs, it decreases the ability for representation for people in California. And I disagree in the sense that the business of our Congress is done here at this table, and you can still represent them. And we represent all people. So when we're all here, and if one person is just missing, we're still representing the entire constituency. That's what we signed up for. That's what we've been elected to do. And so when I was in a meeting and there was electronic attendance, is that the best way to put it? Mm-hmm. It was very disruptive, and it's very difficult for the chair to recognize the person on the electronic device. A lot of times there's the person that is calling into the meeting is talking over someone else or butting into somebody else's, you know, thought process. And there were several times that when that did happen, that I witnessed, of course, that the person who was speaking either lost their train of thought and never got to finish their point by the electronic means attendee, you know, butting into the conversation. And so it is extremely disruptive, in my opinion. And I have never, and if you guys have ever attended or been a member of something or a citizen or of a group on a voting, in a voting capacity, where you are able to vote over the phone or over electronic, you know, for something that's going on for our nation, at our nation, right here, I was surprised, actually. And so I'm not trying to decrease the representation of our constituency, but I do feel that we should be present, we should be here, and you would still be able to hear and call in, and not call in, but listen on the live audio of the meetings that are taking place. And there's another issue that I feel that we put ourselves at risk, especially when we go into executive session. When we go into executive session and you have someone attending by electronic means, I'm not impugning or implying that that particular person who's calling in by electronic means is doing anything incorrectly, because right now it is allowed. And I'm not saying that they will do something bad or they won't keep it private, but we're setting ourselves up for some risk by allowing the electronic attendance, especially during executive session, because we really don't know how secure the place is where the person who's calling in by attendance by phone, if they've kept it secure and everything that is to be private is going to stay private, and therefore we put ourselves at risk. And when we go to executive session here in this building, we put signs on every entrance and lock some doors because of the information that we are discussing. So that's where these rules derive from. And there's also another piece on the second page, guys, or it's on the back of the copy, that if I could go ahead and go on down. It was another piece that's going to be stricken, and I just wanted for it to be noted.
Continue.
Thank you. It's on Proposed Amendment Rule 7.153, and it's I'm just going to read the what is in the rules now. A committee may only take up bills or resolutions for consideration if a quorum of the committee is present. A quorum is a majority of the members of the committee. In order to, this is what would be stricken. In order to establish a quorum, committee meetings shall be required to attend stated meetings in person. Quorums will not be allowed to be established through the use of electronic means. So that would all be stricken. Did I answer your question, Congresswoman Stabler?
Yes.
Thank you.
Congresswoman Stabler?
So I have some comments. Parts of this, I'm in agreement with. I think, hasn't the practice been already that if they're on electronic means, they're not counted as a quorum? They're not allowed to be counted as a quorum, if I remember right?
They can't make the quorum.
Right. They can't make the
quorum. They're shown as present.
Right, show as present, but they can't make the quorum. So that change, I am for. So when some of these things like this come up, then I start putting myself in what if that's me? You know, I just have one job, and this is it. And I'm focusing on this, and I'm trying to be here as much as possible because this is my job. But I know that for others that it can happen. Well, so in my thoughts, then, it could happen to me where I'm disabled because of something happening or sick or something, and then I can't be here physically. So to be allowed to be here as a presence electronically would be a benefit to me in those instances. Be counted as a quorum, be able to vote. No, I don't think so. I think that is, that's something I have to think about on the being able to vote business. As far as the executive session, I 100% agree. We've had that problem just since I've been here. I've noticed that we have that problem. So I agree with your general
overall
plan here. And but I want to think about that vote business. You know, we've had a Congress member that was out because of illness for a long time, and it was, I can't really, you know, we're individuals, so I can't say it was a hardship to us, but for the committees that he was on and for, you know, we postponed some things because he was out and stuff, and I think that consideration, if you go back to as far as representing, I absolutely agree with you there. We represent all people, and we've gone down that road before as a nation to talk about districting and all of that, and it didn't fly. So this is what we're handed, and we do represent all, and I take that in consideration. I have family all over the United States. I understand their dilemmas and their problems about where they live and how they're affected by us, and so I feel like I take that into consideration. As far as report on attendance, of course, I'm good with that. I'm going to be here. So, but as far as the others, I just want to either continue to talk about the voting portion of
By electronic means.
By electronic means, and but I think the members should be allowed
happens.
To be.
Yeah,
it happens.
That does currently happen. If you're in attendance by electronic means, you do not count for the quorum.
Uh-huh.
However, your vote does count on anything that is happening, and and I do want to make sure that everyone understands that is only allowed during the interim. It is not allowed at all during session.
And I agree with that. So I for me, I think that I would have to say that they should be allowed to vote by electronic means. For executive session, I agree that's out. Is that all that we have there?
I don't know if this addresses the objective. Shannon, can you help with the proposal? Look into the proposal. I don't know if it doesn't address executive session, because when they're allowed to attend by electronic means, then they're automatically get to go into executive session, is my understanding. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Yes. You just have to.
I just don't really like the risk involved there. And you know, Congresswoman Stabler, I really am thankful that you brought up the point about the fact of being disabled. And so, I agree with you that if you are disabled and you want to attend but you're unable to because of an incapacitated being at that moment, and so I do see that as that could happen to anyone, and So I think that's an important consideration. It's just the disruptiveness, and I don't guess we'll, unless we can figure out a way to alert the chair that the person that is attending, I guess, or in presence by electronic means has a, would like to make a comment. There are ways that it would be done, but it would be a cost, you know, that it would be somewhat like the go-to meetings. Are you all familiar with that particular software where when you want to buzz in to ask a question, because a lot of go-to meetings are meetings that are done via the internet and sometimes are done through Skype, and you would alert the meeting, be the chair of the committee, that you wanted to weigh in, and therefore a red light would come up depending on, or a notice would come to the chair of the committee. And so that would be something that would be further down the line to be considered. But I do appreciate the comments, and I'm just glad that we're here at the table talking about them. And anyways, that's kind of where I'm at.
Yeah, because right now you can actually, if I'm in a meeting and our electronic stuff isn't working, you can call Angela and she'll put you on her phone. And when the speakers are not working, I will use my old Indian trick and I will put my phone in a cup. And that's happened quite a bit. And everyone made fun of me, but it was actually brilliant and has continued to be used for years now. So, right.
So,
right. And when I couldn't afford the cool stuff, the Bluetooth at home, I was just, you know, we just put it in a cup. Okay. Go ahead. Oh, I'm sorry. Do you have Speaker Tillman.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee. I'm not on this committee, but I stumbled into it and I find it very, very interesting. Just a couple of comments that I was going to make just on the overall duties and responsibilities, the addition of the attendance list, I don't have a problem with that. The only thing, too, that I think should be considered of somehow adding, because I'm sitting here with two former speakers, and I've been down here, and a new second speaker, but I've been down here during those times when I was a member, and you walk through the doors on November 15th, and you know, there's Speaker Pratt or Speaker Whitehorn sitting in their office every day. And it's impressive to know that when your speaker and second speaker are in attendance every day, that should be accounted, in my opinion, as well. You've heard people out, constituents say, well, you make X amount of money, that is a full-time job. You should be there every day. That doesn't even come close to happening unless you're in that speaker or second speaker role. But I've also seen other members of Congress down here working, doing jobs outside of session, outside of the interim. So just maybe some language that would consider the amount of time that I have seen these two previous speakers spend in their office when there was no session. Secondly, the executive session by electronic means has always been a concern to me because you don't know who's on the other end, you know, and so that's a concern. And the one thing with the Congressional Affairs Committee, being on that in my very first year, and we have to pay bills and we have to pay them in a timely manner, and that during the caucus needs to be considered. If you're going to sign up for that committee, understand that you're committing yourself with these rule changes that you'll have to be in attendance. And it's hard when people are far away and there are emergencies. And the other thing that you have to consider is weather. In the wintertime, we still have to pay our bills in the winter. And if we have a CA member that lives in Hominy and the roads are impassable, I wouldn't have a problem with someone phoning in and listening and voting, at least to consider that. So, and then just the things that currently go on with certain members, there's things that pop up like I'm going through now, and it's hard. One of the things it's nice to have that second speaker, to be able to step up and fulfill those roles. So there's just some of the comments that I wanted to make, but I'm glad you all are having this meeting and discussing these topics. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Congresswoman Whitehorn.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'd just like to piggyback. Thanks for looking at the rules. We worked really long and hard on these electronic means rules years ago because it was an issue. We did have members of this body that have other occupations, have to be out of town. I think I've possibly in my time joined a couple of committee meetings, one from home when I was sick, once when I was in an airport on travel, and they were important issues that I felt like I needed to participate in the meeting. So we did work long and hard. The language about not being able to constitute a quorum, your presence, I think was put there in my mind. My take on it is so we wouldn't end up having a clerk of Congress sitting here and everybody on a conference phone and her trying to take notes. So that was why we wanted to have that there had to be a quorum established at the table when we worked on the rules, that rule that is currently active. Executive session has always been a concern of mine, but at some point, we just have to trust in the integrity of our members, just as we do when we're sitting here at the table and we walk out of a meeting that we've been party to. So, you know, I think we have to trust in that to some extent as members. I think we worked long and hard. We were going through payables in CA yesterday. I noticed that we have a WebEx charge. That's ideally, I don't know why it does, and I think I do. I think that our internet here in this building is somewhat limited, the bandwidth that we have, and it's very difficult to get our WebEx working. But I agree with you, it's much better and it's more orderly when we actually have a visual of the person that's joining us and they have a visual of us so they can raise their hand or blink their light appropriately. So I am not for striking all that language. You know, the way our election code is written and the Constitution does not limit members of this body to a geographic boundary. So in the future, quite possibly, there could be a member of the Osage Nation Congress in Hawaii as we currently stand. I think that would be prohibitive to them for interim committee meetings. I think it's written here that when we're in session, you have to be here to participate. So those things were all considered, Congresswoman. I'm glad that you've thought about it because I've been at the table and had to think through these two and try to make some sense of what we do here. I'm not opposed to the new insertion of one about attendance records. So I think I agree with the rest of your committee, but of course you're going to, or not the rest of your committee, some of the comments made by your committee, you guys are going to have to review it and see what you think about the electronic means and present it for the body. But right now what I see that I support is the attendance records. And thank you for letting me speak.
Shanna.
I just have a question on the insertion for the attendance records. Is there any way to clarify that a little bit more so that I'm just saying from attendance perspective, is it attendance record throughout the entire meeting from beginning to end? So if you're not there at roll call and you come in later, you still are counted as present, or is it attendance record as far as if you miss roll call, you're counted absence in that record? I'm just trying to clarify so that if this does pass, I know what I'm looking at.
Yes.
So you said it's been about 7 years since something like this has changed, and so what did you do prior? I'm just trying to, because I appreciated Congresswoman Whitehorn's history lesson, of course, there in that, because these've been in existence since our government, you know, in 2006, and there's been change and everything. And so it's always good to know and have people who have been here and been through it and set through some of the changes. And so what did you do in the past and what was expected, or was it spelled out for you? Was it not spelled out for you?
I think in
I'm sorry. I think in the past it's been a point of contention, and that's why I'm asking, because I know that at one point it was if you weren't there at roll call, and then there were members that said, well, I showed up 10 minutes after a roll call was taken, and so then it changed, but it was always kind of wishy-washy because we didn't have it defined very well. So I just would like clarification before we get to that point.
Yeah, that is a good question, good point to make, because
okay.
I've been late a few times, but if you look it all up, which I did during the last election, I've missed two times in 5 years, all sessions including special sessions, and that was to go to the language fair. So I like that, but you would still have to look at the journal to see that Angela walked in. It'll say I arrived 10:05 or something like that.
So how do y'all feel?
So I don't know. I have to think about additional language on that. First of all, I'm scared to death to WebEx in because my face will be that big. And I've seen people's face or a person's face that big. So I'm like, wow, I don't want that to be me. And then we went down that road talking about it because electronic means, because then, you know, the comment was thrown out there that, you know, there was a fear that we'd look like the Brady Bunch up there and there would be no one sitting here and everybody, you know, could make it that day or something happened. And so we'd all be Brady Bunch up there. So, but I mean, this is a worthy discussion, and at the same time, you know, that crew back then could have felt one way. We have a new Congress right now. It'll change. It could change again the next year. But I mean, just it's worth discussing again, just because we haven't. And I also need to look back at the. I don't recall how does that work. Is it the others, would that have to be passed by this recommended by this committee again? The rules that are still setting there that we've already recommended, it would have to be okay, just making sure, because I know that it might have been the same Congress, right? So we kept bringing it back on committee meeting times, etc. So that is void at this point, right? Okay. Yeah, because I think I've voted yes for it every single time and just hasn't passed yet. So I could possibly be for bringing that back again. Congresswoman Stabler? Or excuse me, Lemon.
So, Congressman Speaker Tillman kind of had shot me a little note, and I kind of liked it, and just going to throw it out there and see what you guys think. So, it's basically in it goes segues from your question about what about if somebody comes in late to the meeting, and we could consider if the committee would like to. Adding tardy to the list, therefore it wouldn't be, you know, it's just a consideration. And so, you know, you could say the clerk of Congress shall compile a list of member attendance, including tardiness and absences from all sessions and committee meetings. Would that take care of your point of contention? And I realize tardy is some may see it as a juvenile word. If there's another word that would mince better with folks, but it essentially is you're tardy, you're late, you know, you're whatever, and so
missing.
Pardon? Oh, missing? Oh, you could be missing if. Well, yes. It's just something to put on the table and talk about it because I don't want it to be one of those things where you're just like pulling your hair out, Shanna, and being like, okay, help me out, please. You know,
I have Congresswoman Whitehorn. Go ahead.
And I'm going to springboard off that. So, which, you know, I think maybe what we're wanting the
constituency.
Osage
thank
people.
You. Thank you. To see, the Osage people to see, is that your members are present and working for you. This could also have an opposite effect. So what if I could get here by roll call and look at the journal, but then I'm going to get up from my seat and dash out. So, I mean, if we're really looking,
that was my other
point. You know, it's loaded. It's at best, it's loaded because I think the the proof we're trying to put out in front of the people is we're here and working in our seats during committee meetings and session times. So, you know, those are some things to think about. Somebody could come in and say, well, if I make roll call, it's not going to reflect on my record, but I really have something else that's pressing on my agenda, and I'm going to have to step out and not be at the
meetings. Where we say, okay, this meeting's supposed to end at 5 or 4:30. Let's say 4:30, because I have to get my children by 5, and I'm one of the only people that have, you know, small children that I have to go get. I can't. And so I'm here, sitting here till 4:30, but the meeting keeps going for 10, 15 more minutes, and I'm like, I have to leave. So then I leave, so if they have a last-minute vote or adjournment, even the adjournment vote, I miss even the vote to adjourn. So that's disappointing, because I was technically there for the entire meeting, but because you chose to go long, I'm not there anymore. So I guess.
So thank you, Ms. Pratt. Sorry, losing my train of thought here because I have two things going on my mind at this time. So to clarify for Shanna, if it said at roll call, that would be extremely clear for you and anyone else. And so I suspect if the committee sends this out, that will be a nice point, a very hot point of contention once we get it on the floor of Congress concerning tardy, showed up, left, you know, or whatever. And so I wouldn't be surprised if this doesn't go anywhere today. However, I do think it's a worthy discussion to continue, even if it doesn't. And I am not opposed to amending any of it, doing away with, you know, part of the electronic piece of it. I will say that I am very firm on the executive session piece of it. And I was just wondering if anyone would be willing to share thoughts of maybe just putting something as far as like the executive session piece by electronic means would be, you know, disallowed or something of that nature, just for discussion purposes. Anyways. And one more thing. Can we do the WebEx for real, or we just can't, or half the time? We don't know. It's off and on.
Go ahead.
We have used WebEx, and it's generally been with the same member over and over, and there are times that it works great, and there's times that it doesn't. Mm-hmm. It could potentially be our bandwidth. However, it seems that the majority of the time when we've played with it here in the office and not in a meeting, we haven't had issues, but we inevitably get in a meeting and we have issues.
Yeah. And we were using the cup on the hill where we had better. So that's where it all began. Congresswoman Stabler.
I want to jump back to the proposed amendment rule 7.15. In that one, I just wondered if you took some of the wording out just for redundancy to something else or something. You struck, in order to establish a quorum, committee members shall be required to attend stated meetings in person. Isn't that part of your intent?
Mm-hmm. Well, yes, it is. But because this is the proposal, because of 2 and 3 and 4, the electronic piece of it, it is redundancy in there. And so basically, if you will just read, a committee may only take up bills or resolutions for consideration if a quorum of the committee is present. And so we could leave that in there, you know, to say that you have to be in attendance, stated meeting. It was just, it's assumed. So, yeah, I mean, you could definitely make it more clear by leaving that piece in there. Is that what you're asking?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You could. And I questioned that whenever I was discussing, you know, this with some folks. And that's a good thought.
I would probably leave it.
So my amendment would be to strike only quorums will not be allowed to be established through the use of electronic means.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay, ladies, it is 12:04. I need some of this to swirl around in my head and also make sure that it jives with a couple of other things that I've made notes on. So
I need to introduce something that's been brought to me.
Okay.
And we just scribbled it down, and I'll have to write it up formally for the
but I want to introduce it. Now, this is in my just fast note hand. Speaker shall meet with the appropriate chair and all standing committee chairs prior to session and formulate a committee meeting schedule for the entire session, which contemplates legislation. And I can't read what I wrote there. And shall be noticed prior to session. And Congresswoman Edwards is the one that brought it up. We're really about to close, but I wanted to make sure this got read in because we're beyond our time.
I'm the one that asked for the meeting.
Well, you should have been here.
No, I was told. I
told her I would call her if we got there, but I didn't think we were going to roll over our
time. Exactly what she said.
Mm-hmm. And I did. So at least I got it ready.
Well, would you show that that rule's been considered so that I can present it on the floor of Congress? You don't have another rules meeting set, do you?
I'm going to have to get one because this other one, we've only adopted one. We're still discussing the other, so we'll do it again.
Okay, because I think that's an important rule to get passed.
Right, because I already brought up, I asked if the previous rules, because it's taken a couple few years to try to get that. It's been presented over and over, but it's void at this time. It would have to be presented again if we were going to do a schedule, but I'm for that. So okay. I voted yes for it every time. So, all right. Yes.
So do we just not make this adjourn?
Yes, we'll come back and try to get something out. And then now, in the meantime, you would continue to, while I let it swirl, talk to your members and let it swirl because, I think once we get to the floor, you can move to amend just like we do legislation, right? Yes, okay. So we can, so somebody might try to throw it up, but I'm telling you, I would talk to the members. I will also just kind of give them a heads up. Has this gone out to everybody electronically?
Yes.
Okay, yeah, that's good. And just have a little discussion because it's hard to get rules passed because I think we get kind of cramped. Right, it takes 2/3 and if you get cramped for time on, we usually do it towards the end, then everybody's just like, okay.
Motion to adjourn?
All right. Motion to adjourn.
I have one quick question. Do you want me to hold this committee report until after your next meeting, or do you want this one to go out tomorrow?
Yeah, let's do it all together.
Okay.
I would say.
Because each amendment would be addressed individually because it would be amendment one.
Right, right.
Amendment just two, and when you vote on it on the floor, it would be voted on by amendment.
Right.
Okay.
Let's do it. Let's just hold it.
Okay.
All right.
Motion to adjourn.
Second. All those in favor say yes.
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 Okay, we're adjourned, and I'll get another meeting as soon as I can.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you.